The Big News Coming Soon podcast is proudly sponsored by BRB Homes. BRB Homes is Ireland's number one award-winning manufacturer of factory-built homes. We take your home from start to finish. Our homes are A-rated and meet planning regulations. We build to your requirements and your budget. The cost includes your home being turnkey and our chartered engineer's fees. Please get in touch for a viewing of our show homes, a brochure, or for more information. Let BRB Homes take the stress out of your build. Check out brbhomes.ie.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Big News Coming Soon podcast. And this week I'm joined by my wingman. You're known as my wingman now, Donal Byrne. Hello.
The bed influencer. How's the crack?
And you're also the show sponsor, but you've become a really good friend and a wingman more than a sponsor over the last few months. And as a way of saying thank you, I said, you know what? Would you like to come on a cruise for a few days? And boy, was I sorry.
Was I fucking sorry? It changed my life.
I never saw a man to test out all-inclusive in all my life. It was like it was a challenge.
It was a challenge, but I rose to the challenge. I rose to it. I was early to bed, early to rise every morning.
I've never seen anyone drinking a cocktail in a hot tub at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but you see, it was a Bloody Mary, so it had its tomato juice. I was getting in one of my five a day.
Yeah.
You know, I was checking the quality control of temperatures of water, all that. I was able to report back on the real runnings of it.
And you were pushing the staff's boundaries because the bar wasn't even open.
Till 11.
And you in at 8 o'clock, the only man to get a cocktail at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, look, I have persuasive powers.
What was your man's name?
Shawan. Not Sean, because I called him that. Shawan.
Shawan?
Yeah.
He was some man for one man.
He was, the poor devil. Every morning when he seen me come with the camera, he was hiding.
Right, let's go back to the very start. Oh, we would like to say, if you don't know who Donal Byrne is, and you would like to know a little bit more about him and his business and where he comes from, then go back and listen to an earlier podcast. It's called Is Fager Lynn. There's no point in us covering it all. Again, we will give you a brief synopsis now, but please, we would ask you to stop listening to this, go back and listen to Is Fager Lynn, and then come back to this podcast again. Donal Byrne is the CEO of a business called BRB Homes in Swinford, County Mayo. Tell us a little bit about your business briefly.
So we build factory-built homes, houses that are built in factories rather than on-site. And we are the whole thing from start to finish, from getting your planning to moving in. And we have 70-something staff now, and we're in every county in Ireland, and we have a mighty bunch of lads and ladies, and without them we couldn't do it.
The last time we spoke, I think you had 30 or 40 staff, so you've almost doubled your
workforce. We have. It's
workforce.
It's grown hugely. Look, the construction industry, it's gone very expensive and very troublesome to try and get a house built, hence why our market is thriving, but our costs are going up, but so are the standard costs. And look, we're delighted to be busy.
And when people think of factory built home, they think of a porta cabin or they think of a log cabin. It's not that anymore.
No, it's steel frame building, external insulation, foil backed insulation slabs. It looks like the standard house. At the start, we did have timber facades. It did look a little bit more cabiny, but we've totally evolved. And the houses we're building now are, you know, 2,000, 3,000 square foot houses. I suppose the most common size is about 1,800 square foot. They're fully kitted out, tiled, family homes filled with kids, flat out.
And the big question I get asked all the time, Donal, is how long do they last?
They last generations. Like if you take a steel frame building that's exposed to the elements, unlike ours, like a slashed house or a hay shed, they're standing for, you know, 100 and 150 years and they're totally exposed to the elements. All our steel is behind the walls, external insulation covering the outside, plasterboard on the inside. They're not exposed to the element. It can't rot away. Like.
Okay, it's the future.
It is the future, and you can see, if you look at the trends across Ireland, England, Europe, it's all factory-built. They use the word modular. I like factory-built.
Okay. So if you want to know more, go back and listen to the podcast, Is Fager Lynn. And it's great to see things going so well, Donal. It's great to see your workforce doubling in size, but with that comes an awful lot of pressure as well. How are you handling things?
Well, I just tend now to go on a cruise every 3 months and it just totally relaxes me. Look, there is a huge amount of pressure. I have changed an awful lot of things in my life to deal with it. I've hired more staff to deal with it. I have more to hire. I cannot say we have everything perfect. We had a problem solvers meeting this morning where we sit down once a month with all the key staff and go through issues that we have to try and rectify them. I have more people to recruit. I have different phases to implement to make sure that, you know, problems don't occur. So we're not fully there, but we're getting there. And we thrive to get it better every single week, every single month, every single year. And fair play to the crew around me, they're getting there.
Do you find it hard to find staff?
Yes, but I found a fellow called Alan Clark and we came up with a recruitment campaign. We did a podcast. The response was phenomenal. But you will find, especially when we came back after Christmas, there is a bit of a downturn. So we had people coming from other factory-built factories. We had people coming from Dublin, coming out of the construction sector. So there is a slowdown in the country and we're benefiting from it.
What do you mean? There's a slowdown in traditional build?
There seems to be in the construction sector in general. You know, a lot of them huge sites in Dublin, the Intel sites and the Facebooks, they had thousands. They're sort of letting some go. Definitely a good few fellas moving back out of the cities, which is good for us.
So is there a downturn in your business?
No. It's crazy.
So you're benefiting, your business is actually benefiting from the small downturn that you see in construction at the minute.
It is, because like some of the blue chip clients we have now, I would never expect.
What's a blue chip client?
So I suppose a blue chip client is what you'd see as a massive multinational company. And I've signed NDAs with some of them, you can't go naming them, but some of the larger blue chip in Connacht we're working for, building offices, training facilities, stuff that we would never had. We're building schools as well for the Department of Education, along with all the houses. So we've always had our foot in several different markets. We've done a building for Knock Airport down there before Christmas. It's great that these people are now having faith in us as well as somebody looking for a house.
So you, when you say blue chip, like, I'm not asking you to name anyone, but what I think of is I think of the likes of Allergan and Baxter and those kind of businesses.
In around that type of stuff, yeah. Yeah. Pharma's in it.
So they're asking you to build extensions?
Different type buildings.
Okay. Yeah,
different type buildings. And
that's
look,
interesting.
It's lovely because you don't rely just solely on the housing market.
Yeah.
You don't rely solely on the educational market, that you have your toes in several different pots.
Well, it's positive to see them having faith in the build, because I'm sure a certain element of your job is still trying to convince people that this is the way to go. I'm sure the Aulstock think, oh, it's blocks and mortar and it's...
It is, but I'm not killing myself as much selling. You know, I very much have the approach, look, you won't hear from us again now. You can touch base with us when you want us. You know where I am. If you have any questions, I'd gladly answer them. If you want to go out and see a couple's house, because it's... I suppose social media has totally changed. They see it and they understand it. Yeah. While when we started this journey years ago, people didn't know what I was on about and I was killed repeating myself, selling, selling, selling. Now we're lucky that we're one of the larger in the country and people within 20 kilometre radius have a house built by us beside them or a building.
And we're actually recording this in your show house in Swinford. So tell us a little bit about this house.
Yeah, this is our Dormer house. It's up now 7 years. We launched at the National Ploughing Championships. We took it down and put it back up here. Made a few modifications to it. It's even getting outdated because our designs have moved so much forward, but I can't have a yard filled with houses like a housing estate. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. You'll see probably in a few weeks' time, we're probably doing one of the most unique houses we've ever done. But we have come an awful long way. This was very basic, no valleys, no Veluxes, flat roof, very simple style, open plan. Now we have, from the last one I looked at, there was mezz levels in it, hidden doors in it. There was split level. It's amazing how far we've come. It's
brilliant.
Amazing.
Excellent. Right, so let's get into it then. I invited you on a cruise. We went, I was invited by Princess Cruises to go and check out their brand new ship, which is the Sun Princess. And they said, Alan, you can bring a plus one. And I was racking my brains. I was thinking, who can I bring? Can I bring that fella? Can I bring this one? Can I bring that one? And I said, you know what now? I know a man who needs a break. But Jesus, I didn't know how badly you needed that break. Such a blowout, huh?
And I spent the whole time lying by the pool.
Right. So I said, Donald, do you think you'd be let come on a cruise for 5 days? And it's amazing. I'm surprised that a man married with two kids, with as many businesses and as much responsibility as you have, you were allowed to get away for the 5 days, which is very impressive.
No, fair play. The minute you messaged me, I contacted Mrs. House and I told her about the cruise.
You asked her, you mean? You didn't tell her.
No, I told her about the dates.
Oh,
I didn't. It was very vague. The details you had at the start, they were very vague till we got to the fucking ship.
Yeah.
But no, it was Paddy's weekend and it was a bank holiday. And that made it very possible.
Okay.
If it wasn't normal bank holiday weekend, there wouldn't have been a fucking chance. But fair play to her, she gave me the blessing and I embraced it.
She gave you the green light. We left Dublin at, so I collected you at your house at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, you sat into my car at my house. Let's get this straight now.
Right. Yeah. I drove to your house, which is about half an hour away from my house. I got into your car at your house, and as we were pulling out of your driveway, you noticed a white car coming towards us on the road.
I did.
And you said, Jeez, it's awful unusual to see a car driving down the road at this time of the night. And I thought, are you well in the head? Why are you getting so excited about a white car? And you were looking in the mirror, and it had crossed your mind to turn back. But you didn't turn back.
I didn't, because
we were running a few minutes late anyway.
And that was what was against me. If we were a bit earlier, I probably would have turned. So white car, again, it's a small village. I'm used to going up and down to the farm at night time checking cows that are calving.
Yeah.
You don't meet anyone. If it was a Friday night, yes. But on a Wednesday night, was it Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday night.
Was it Wednesday night?
Thursday morning.
2 o'clock in the morning.
I found it strange, and we then found out why.
So we went to Dublin Airport. I want to tell a funny story about the airport lounge that I'll come back to. But then we got on the plane. We landed in, where do we land? Athens. And you turned on your phone. Actually, do you know what? Donald turned on his phone when we were a couple of thousand fucking meters still in the air, and the phone started hopping. And everyone was wondering, number one, how you got signal. And number two, why was your man's phone hopping? Why was it hopping?
We were robbed. Eileen's Bar, which is down the road from my house, was robbed.
You own Eileen's Bar?
I own Eileen's Bar with Sean Cunion. And it was on, first of all, it was on a WhatsApp group I'm on for the area. Then John messaged me. Then the picture started to come through. And I would always turn my phone on before the plane lands, because the anxiety I have would work. That the amount of stuff I've missed out on for those 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I need to start catching up fast.
Right, so we had landed, I think it was around 11 o'clock in the morning. We had seen the car at 2 o'clock that night. And in the meantime, Eileen's was robbed. They'd pulled the safe out. They had done serious damage to the front door.
Yeah, so four gents pulled up. They parked across the road at the other pub. They sauntered over when you watch the CCTV. Took their time, weighed up the other pub door. Went over to have a look at the post office. Came back, pushed up the cameras, and then they spent 5 minutes breaking in the front door, which I suppose is a middling advertisement for Munster Joinery that it took that long. They knocked off the power at the meter box outside, which I didn't know. There's like a trip switch in there for industrial buildings for fire reasons. They pulled the wires out of the alarm, and whatever way, they also had an extendable ladder and went up and cut the fibre. So by whatever sequence they'd done that in, the alarm didn't go off, the alarm company didn't ring us. And usually you'd get a call if the power went down at all. They'd ring and say, is everything okay? And maybe it was a blessing. But in they went. They handpicked through whiskies, 18-year-old Jameson, Middleton, very rare, into the safe. Spent a long time pulling that out. They went out to the store, kicked in the door in the store. Again, went through the stock and that. They pulled out, we had a big bottle for loose change for the Tidy Villages that we donate every year. They took that. They pushed open the till, took what was in that. The Amore 50-50, there wouldn't have been a lot, you know, because it was midweek. Took the money in the safe, and there were an hour and 5 minutes in there. So I was given out stink that if the alarm went off, I'd have found them. And if me and you, if I was collecting you rather than you coming to me, I'd have seen them. But then a lot of people said if you went in the door and the four boys met you, they'd have bet the shite out of you. And it is the truth.
Yeah, if I was 10 minutes later, I would have seen the car outside the pub. Correct. I would have said to you, there's a car down outside the pub. So the two of us would have landed down. And God only knows what would have happened.
And these boys were very steady. Now, according to reports, they're from a certain part of Dublin I won't name. They left us and done another pub in Tourlestrand. They're supposed to have robbed a pub in Tuam beforehand. You don't randomly drive to Hamor. So I had my paranoia levels on. But you know, the first thing that I did the minute I found out, I didn't go ringing the guards. I contacted a member of Jack's school, because he had been on to me a few weeks beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
About robberies in the area, and he had heard someone talking about it.
Jack is your son?
Yes.
What age is he?
My 8-year-old son.
8. So Jack was in school 2 hours at this stage.
And that was my only fear, that he would find out. Because the school bus would have passed the pub and people would have passed it.
So when you're saying that was your fear, like did Jack already tell you that he had a fear of...
He did. There was a van acting suspiciously in the area maybe 2 or 3 months ago, and I followed it, and he had been with me in the car, and I rang the neighbour to say this van was acting suspiciously at his yard. And of course, you forget when a child is in the back that he's overheard in a conversation. So he'd been on to me then. I said, no, it's a once off. There's never robbers in the area. Don't be worried. So he'd several times then asked me, you know.
Ah.
So I wanted to make sure he didn't find out. So I contacted a lady in the school who I know well, who works there. And I just messaged her and said, will you go down and make sure that Jack doesn't hear about it? Or if he does, to say that it's a pub named the same name somewhere else.
obviously none of the students would say it to him because sure, how would...
Unless it wasn't what it was. And she came back to me and she goes, I'm afraid you're too late. First of all, it was, you know, sorry to hear about it.
Right.
She said a member of the staff already approached him in the playground this morning and sympathised with him.
What?
Yeah. And I was there, oh my God. Why would somebody who's minding children go to a child with an adult's problem? You know, that little boy doesn't know, you know, what went on down the road, nor is he supposed to know. He's a child, he's 8 years of age, he's out kicking ball in the yard. So the whole thing in my head was, I'm away now for a heap of days. Marion has the kids on her own. You have a child that's going to be worried. You know, what happened? Will the robbers be back? Our house is only, you know, a few hundred metres from the pub.
Yeah, of course.
So I messaged Marion then straight away. So we came up with the plan that we'd take them out of school and give the next day off, because it was Friday,
right,
to let things die down, because everyone was going to be talking about it the next day and other kids.
And was Jack upset when this person approached him? Or?
So he said it to me Friday, Jack Friday, and he said to me, Dad, did you hear the rumours while you were gone? So I said, what were the rumours? He said, oh, that Eileen's was robbed. And I said, who said it to you? So he said, he named the lady that said it to him. And I said, look, rumours are rumours, Jack. There was a pub robbed with the same name in a different town. Because he didn't want him to be afraid. So I said, never mind it. He was asking me then, you know, details about this pub, did I know where it was and stuff like that. And when you think back on it, when you were small,
oh, yeah,
you would always be afraid of stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, terrified.
Mm.
And no, none of his friends obviously said it to him or anything.
No, no, that was it. Thanks be to God.
Thank and God. Because it's a small little village too. Like it goes like wildfire.
It is. But look, the key from that is adults' problems should be discussed with adults. Children are always children.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that.
Yeah. And how is he now?
100%. Not bothering him.
Yeah.
Soccer, mental. I got him 3 fake jerseys in Turkey. And you'd swear to God I give the man €1,000. He has worn them every day, if not all 3 a day.
Little does he know you nearly got us bet up and deported out of Turkey for these jerseys, because you love a battle, don't you?
Well, look, Barton is Barton. Poor Alan was turning red, folks.
You'd swear you were at Balmart now fighting with this fellow over a fiver for a Man United jersey. But it was great crack. Right, so we got there anyway. Phone lit up. You're lucky that you had people on the ground here, good support around you, good business partners that were able to handle things. And it took you a few hours, I'd say, to switch off. Like it didn't.
Did the blood pressure was on a bit of a high.
Yeah.
And then I felt bad for going. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. What do you do? You're in Athens now. Do you turn around and go home?
Or I did have to bait it, but I said no. And when I rang Marion and she goes, it could have been worse. You could have gone in the door and got the head bed.
Yeah.
It was a blessing you were gone, McClark, that the alarm didn't go off. Enjoy your holiday. And that's what I did.
Fair play to her, you know, she doesn't get the credit she deserves.
No, 100%. Look, I said it before, behind every good man is a good woman.
Yeah, and she is a mighty bit of stuff. So eventually then, we got onto the ship then, it was probably 3 or 4 o'clock that day. There was a bit of slobbering with passports and things like that. The only reason there was a bit of slobbering is because we were kind of jumping in the middle of a trip.
Yeah,
there wouldn't normally
a trip.
So there was a 10-day trip and we landed on day 5. So there was a bit of slobbering getting us onto the boat and we had to give passports and this, that and the other. That slobbering wouldn't normally be there. Then we went up and we had the shower and then you were able to...
A shower separately. Let's just get this straight now.
No,
we didn't have a shower together now.
You had a shower first.
Yes, thank
Where
you.
Was I actually when you were in the shower? Because I wasn't up in the room. Where was I?
Oh, I skipped the queue. You had to go back to a security.
Oh, hey. So do you know what happened? He went around the security. There was a queue, right? There was a queue where we had to present our passports again for the second time. And Donal went around it. And there was a queue there of about 60 people. He went around it, onto the boat, up into the shower. Text me, I'm in the shower. Let me know when you're on the boat.
Yeah. And I felt refreshed. There's nothing worse than that sticky travel. I was mad to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, I spotted that there was one bed.
I texted you saying, don't wreck the room because I haven't even a video done. You said, I'm in the shower. I said, Jesus, don't wreck the room. I have to video it. And then I landed up and you were sprawled out with your sailor's hat on you, reading the Farmer's Journal, eating my strawberries.
Humor's biggest influencer.
And one bed in the room.
Yeah, the one bed, look, the poor man that was looking after our floor, I think you only asked him 2 or 3 times, but it was split. One day together wasn't too bad.
He was under pressure. So I landed in, there was one bed in the room and I rang down, but it was too late that evening. I think they were under pressure that evening, but they split it the next day. And we had 2 separate beds the second day and the crack started. So,
jeez, it did. I don't think the ship knew what was about to happen.
We went down the first night and we went into the Irish bar and there was mighty crack. And I'm trying to think back now, Did we have something to eat the first night?
We did. We did. We sat with Mandy and Jar.
Yeah. Oh, we have to give them a shout as well, because they, I'd say they'll never go on holidays
the
with us again.
The Posh and Becks of the crew ship.
They was like Posh and Becks and Dumber going for dinner together. But they put up with us. And then the next morning we landed in...
Turkey.
Kusadese. Straight off the boat, Donald goes, I know a man that sells watches. He puts it into...
That's Ray O'Brien's fault.
He puts it into Google, right? He puts it into Google. He goes, watch shack. And he goes, here it is. It's 14 minutes away. But when you click, when he typed it into Google, he clicked car instead of walking. The shop was about a 2.5 minute walk from the boat or a 14 minute drive.
But didn't you see the real Kusadese?
So he brought us up streets, down streets, back streets, side streets. And there was two with us. Brian and his wife were with us.
God,
and Brian goes, I think he's just bringing us back to where we started. No. It's down here. Anyway, bang, landed down to the main street. So we had gone along as if we were a car going along these roads. It took us 14 minutes and then we ended up back down. You went in anyway to buy this watch and we were in there, I'd say, a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Donald burst through the front door as if he owned the place. How ya? Watches, talk to me. Your man goes, sorry. Watches, talk to me. Ray O'Brien sent me. Firstly, your man hadn't a notion who Ray O'Brien was.
He didn't.
Donald was telling us the whole way over, this man knows Ray O'Brien and he told us he'd look after us and Ray O'Brien this and Ray O'Brien that. We walked in the door. Your man goes, Donald goes, how ya? Ray O'Brien sent us. Your man goes, I haven't a clue who that is. Takes out these watches. Donald was about 60 seconds saying, I'm going to give you €150 for two watches. Take it or leave it. Your man goes, leave it. Get out. We were gone. We had gone. It was the quickest experience we had in any shop. Your man just goes, get out. You Irish rednecks. I'm not even dealing with that.
I messaged Ray when we got out. I said, this fella's mad. I said, he wanted 150 each. Oh, that's what they are.
You thought it was 150 for two watches. He bought two watches at 150 each. So Donald goes, I'm not giving you 150 watch. There was a man in here, Ray O'Brien. He came in here from Cork and he bought two watches for 150. Your man goes, no, he didn't.
But then we went to the handbag shop.
Get out of me shop.
And you're like, Clark, you think your face was red after the treatment? You were getting red looking at me. Such a bit of an argument I had with your man.
I knew. So we went into the handbag shop and I knew when your man asked you, do you want a bottle of water? And you accepted the bottle of water. I said, fuck it. We're in here for the long haul now. Yeah. I said, don't take the water, Donald. He goes, would you like water? Donald goes,
or was it tea, some type of an apple tea or something as well.
Well, you took the bottle of water anyway, and I said, shite, we're in here now for the long haul. We looked at handbags, we looked at leather handbags,
but
plastic
handbags.
Mandy
was happy with the quality of them. She said like they were the nearest thing.
Don't be dragging Mandy into this. She she can't be condoning fake Turkish handbags.
They came out well now.
Celebrity stylist of the year.
When opening a shop, how's your handbag?
So he was showing us how to look for fake handbags and he was licking handbags and he was saying if this changes colour.
If it changes colour, it's not leather.
And then anyway, got to three handbags for €300.
No, it was not, was it? €180 for three handbags.
Whatever it was anyway, you were trying to rob him. And you said, I'll take the four handbags for €180. And your man goes, sure, I can't live on that.
And that was the end of my shopping once I bought them handbags. No, I got the three jerseys.
Just scoot your seat over 2 or 3 inches that side. There, yeah, lovely, lovely.
Sorry.
You got what?
That was the end of my shopping. I got the three jerseys for the young lad and that was it. My shopping took, if we calculated, about 44 minutes.
That was the end of your shopping, but the handbag shopping now was extensive. We went through every single handbag. There was photos being sent back to Ireland. There was WhatsApps being sent back to Ireland.
There was sending back something she didn't like. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and then your man had another fella on the stairs and he had another fella at the door. Like things were going to kick
half
off.
Half the cash that were taken were then in that shop.
Yeah. We thought we were going to end up in the back of a transit van now, blindfolded, going down
but
the road.
The quality, it's hard to describe, you know, for anyone that isn't there or hasn't visualised it. This isn't a scary backward shop. This is a nice high-end front street shop.
Yeah.
You know, lovely tiled aircon, free bottles of water, as in, it isn't pokey dokey now.
No, but what's interesting is they can sell you shite if you want shite.
Yeah, but if you look for the right stuff, you'll get it.
Yeah. So he can say to you, there's a shite handbag there, it's €50. But do you want a good one? It's €100. Mm-hmm. And then he was telling you, oh, this handbag is £2,000 in Brown Thomas.
Yeah.
If you want it. And sure, we didn't know one handbag from another. He was trying to sell me a man bag then.
Look, that's the book for itself. Like, he wasn't trying to sell me no man bag.
Because you already had one.
That's a satchel. I got a lot of compliments in that.
You're not behind your back, you don't. So you had your shopping done. Where did Donald go? Straight to the pub.
But I had emails to answer.
Did you find an Irish bar in Coosa Dassie?
No, it wasn't. No, nice. Half the crew from the ship were in it. I found it on Google.
Right.
And I sat down and had two or three local beers and answered some emails. And Next thing, wasn't there a crowd from Bohola then, the pub? So I had to have a pint with them. Poor old Brian.
Shout out to Brian and Donna.
And I hit back then to the cruise ship. And where does Clark lands then with nearly a car trailer filled with stuff?
Meanwhile, I go into a shop then and I said, how are you doing? Have you any? I wanted a Tommy Hilfiger polo shirt. And your man goes, I have. And I have them in this and I have them in that and I have them in another. And then suddenly I was posting stuff home to myself. And he was working out that the postage was €80. And then...
You bought a suitcase, you bollocks.
I did, yeah, because the suitcase was 50.
Yeah. For fuck's sake. You have to imagine now, folks, 3 hours has passed. Donald's shopping is over in 42 minutes.
I'm a hard man to fit.
Oh, well, you're a hard man to fit.
I'm a hard
man. All you do
man.
Is go down to the kids' section. You've got to pick out Anthony. I'm going to put you into the fucking suitcase and brought you and the suitcase on the blade.
It just so happens that I needed a new suitcase anyway. My one gave up the ghost on the way out and I said, I need a new suitcase. It was €80 to push the stuff home or €50 for the new suitcase. So I bought the suitcase.
But you got value for money now.
I did get, well, sure, I haven't washed them yet. They could go to shite.
Oh.
Hang on now a second. Ask me in another week or two.
Right, okay.
And he was throwing designer stuff at me and I bought a Conor McGregor shirt and I bought this, that and the other and I call it a Conor McGregor shirt because it's like something he'd wear. I don't know what brand it is. It was fairly outrageous and I wore it one night.
That got us into enough bother.
Jesus, that got us into more bother that we'll tell you about later on. But that was Coosa Dassie and then got back onto the boat, had the ship, we're not allowed to call it a boat.
Sorry, I got told by...
That was a real bone of contention.
Was. Oh, yeah, the staff didn't like that.
You're not allowed to call them boats.
Ship.
And all the Irish lads were calling them boats. But anyway, back on and then off to the next place. Next place we landed was the city of Crete.
Wait, what happened that night? No, we had to go back that night.
What happened that night?
That was the night we made our hangover movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was, and I got the yolk for leaving on the grave with the drinks.
Yeah, oh
we
hey.
To the steakhouse, you wouldn't eat nothing because it was too rare for you.
Hey, excuse me, shithead. Who wouldn't eat the raw meat at the start?
But that was mince.
No, come on now.
What's the name of that? Tartare.
Big man.
Did you not see the episode of Mr. Bean when he starts hiding it in the jars and everywhere?
Big man, if you were watching our stories, he goes, will you eat the tartare? He says, don't you eat steak rare? And I go, all right, I'll taste it. I tasted it, I liked it, and I ate it. Did you eat yours?
No.
No. And then I was like, oh, what happened to I eat it rare?
It was like dog food. That's what it was like. Pedigree fucking chum.
So we went to this beef restaurant and it was all different cuts. So they had a picture of the cow on the placemat and there was 12 different parts of the cow and we got to taste 12 different.
But the only thing we didn't taste is the tail. Oh, merciful hour. Meat.
Yeah.
I had the meat sweats.
Yeah, it was intense now. And there was wine on the table and whoever drank the wine, I tell you one thing.
Oh yes, what was it called? Chianti.
It was loony juice.
Yeah.
2 hours later, you could tell who drank the wine and who didn't
like
drink the wine.
Like Henry Sellers, chara bastards. I don't drink wine for anyone that knows.
How dare they do this to me?
But there was no potatoes. You were getting
meat. We were eating beans.
Yeah, beans. Like narrow Irish beans, the narrow Irish beans, not the big the ones with the ketchup. No potatoes.
We had a baked potato.
That came right near the end and they gave you lard to put on it. But we had three steaks.
Yeah.
Like they give you every cut, but it was constant meat. Like there was no soakage in it. That's why the poor devils on the Chianti went downhill.
I had my baked potato. I think I ate yours as well. You were doing too much talking. And then down then we did the hangover video. It went very well on Instagram.
Riverdance.
That was a different night. That wasn't the same night. Was it? Sure, it's all a blur to me. So Donald goes to the bar anyway. So you have 15 drinks. You have 15 alcoholic drinks per day, which is loads for anyone. And I have to tell you as well, this isn't an ad for Princess Cruises, by the way. We're only telling you the crack. We're only telling you what happened. So on this all-inclusive package that we had, it worked out somewhere between €1,700 and €2,000 per person, depending on the type of room you have. And included in that is all-inclusive. So that's your food included for the week. That's your tips included, shows. You can go and hire a deck chair if you want up in the fancy place. And there's loads of different bonuses to have in this all-inclusive. And there's 15 alcoholic drinks per day up to €20. If you're going over €20, you have to pay it. So Donald goes to the bar, big man, here I am, on me holidays. How you harsh? What's the most expensive cocktail? And your man hadn't a clue what he said, so he just pointed to €35. He goes, this, 35, sound, I'll have it. Your man lands down with a three. There was six cocktails on this tray.
If you haven't seen it, you need to go on and see it.
And Donald goes, it's like something you'd put on a grave, he said, because there was flowers. There was flowers all around it. And Donald Byrne was walking around the cruise ship holding a tray of cocktails.
There was people coming up taking pictures of it. Oh my God.
There was people asking you what it was called. Where did you get it? Yeah. What was it called again? Can you remember?
I cannot for the life
of me. I remember you telling these Americans, oh, it's called the thing. Go down there and ask Shawan about it.
Aspro Spritz, is it? Is that the word?
Aperol Spritz.
That's what it was made up of. Different cocktails of that shite.
Right. you drank it though.
It didn't go to my head at all.
So he was walking around with a tray of cocktails and then that was it.
We sort of got to meet everyone that night and get to know everyone. So we met... I suppose we got to know the real juror that night, and then we met Eric Gundapants and his mother, and we met some of the crew from the ship. Again, in the Irish bar, there was Morden lad Shane from Castlebar who was in the band, and it was great to see that, and they were telling us they were playing Paddy. So we got to know a load more staff. What was the girl from Donegal?
Niamh
and Charlotte.
She was working on the ship.
She was involved in entertainment.
Before I forget now, because I could easily forget at the end of this, I just want to give a big massive shout out to Rebecca and Charlotte for looking after us so well. Rebecca was emailing us, texting us, making sure we were checked in and boarded and making sure everything was okay, and she couldn't do enough for us, treated us like royalty. And then when we got to the ship, we met Charlotte, who works in the Southampton office, another lady that couldn't do enough for us. So we have to give a big shout out to Rebecca and
two
Charlotte.
Mighty bits of stuff.
I'd say they didn't know what
over to make. And above the wind.
I remember telling Charlotte a couple of days in that Donald is a really successful businessman. And she was like, no. No, he couldn't be. That fella. And then we both look over to Donald in a hot tub at 9:30 in the morning shouting at Shawan. How are you, Shawan? Will you bring me another Bloody Mary? And I'm here going, no, he's a really successful businessman, I'm telling you. And he's married and he has kids. And she's like, no. She thought you were a bachelor friend of mine that has never left the country before. Well, I swear to God.
That second day, so we had a great night that night. And I was here enough and I hit for the hot tub that second day, and I was having plenty of cocktails with my man Shawan, and I came back to the room and you were gone, and I hit for crease, and I just got off.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you know where I was gone?
Where?
I had text you saying, where are you?
Yeah.
You said, I'm down at Shawan. I had left the room and went down to Shawan, and in the meantime you had left where you were with Shawan and had gone exploring Crete. So the next message I got, how yeah, I'm down here now with Shawan, and he said you left 5 minutes ago, where are you now? And you go, I'm off exploring the city of Crete. And I go, well, Jesus, thanks for the invite. And you were gone. The next thing I looked on your stories, and you were singing Maggie's Drawers beside a 7-year-old girl from Crete. They were tattered, they were touring round the gearbox, they were
well,
worn.
Folks, you never seen such panic that kicked in. My wife was texting me, Clark, the boat is leaving in an hour. Those people, I'm worried about you. Are you back at the ship? And what happened was, my battery went dead halfway down Crete Village. And I was sound. I'd done my bit in a shop and I hit back to the car, but I was an hour without being on Insta.
I was getting calls from Ireland going,
everyone was
Alan,
panicking.
I don't think Donald's going to make it back to the boat. I don't think you should have brought him. Oh, stop. So when you turned on the phone, you had a load of messages.
I had a load of messages.
And one was from me going, Donald, the boat's leaving in 20 minutes. Where are you?
Yeah.
I get this message. How are you, Clark? I'm down here in the Irish bar. There's a present on the bed for you. I go up to the bed, the most outrageous pair of sunglasses you've ever seen.
Didn't they make the trip along with my hat? They're the two items I bought on Crete.
Yeah.
But when we got back on, there's a story popped into my head that I want to fucking...
So Donald was going around Crete anyway. He brought us on a tour. He went into a butcher shop. He was talking about cheese. We saw two kids. Did you give the kids a tip?
The lady wanted €2 and I gave him €10 and he nearly bushed with excitement.
Oh, well, didn't it break your heart? Didn't it break your heart?
By geez, didn't the village of Crete do better out of me than they did out of you? You with your fucking all-inclusive on the boat, you bollocks.
I slept in till 12:30. I woke up like Kevin from Home Alone. I walked around the boat and I was like, where's everyone gone?
My family disappeared.
I made my family disappear. So I went up and I had a shave and I started dancing on the kitchen table and I went around the house and then I started preparing for burglars.
Fuck you and your burglars, you bollocks. I had a nap. The Ireland game was on that night then. They had it on the big screen upstairs.
Yes.
But it was also in the room and the telly. So we put it on the room and the telly and we hit for town. Was that the night we met the Italian influencer?
Who's the Italian influencer? I don't remember that.
This Charlotte introduced Eric to this Italian influencer. Now, you have to remember...
Oh, hang on. Don't name any names now. That was the last night. No, no, that was the last night.
We're not going to name her.
No, but
we need to tell the story.
We'll tell the story. We'll get to it in a minute.
Okay, but don't forget that now.
Okay, I won't. So the Ireland match was on that night. Then we went down. We had a few drinks after the Ireland game. And then the next morning... Well, the next day was a day on the ship, was it?
It was. Paddy's Day.
Paddy's Day was a day on the ship.
We went for the Tapanaki.
The boys got up in the morning... We had because we were on this press trip, we were booked into Tapanaki, but it was 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, it was class.
So anyway, obviously they could only get us in because it's booked out. It's booked out weeks in advance. And the other really cool thing, and again, this isn't a sales pitch. I'm not going to say that again because I don't want to keep repeating myself, but you can download the app and you can book yourself in a couple of weeks in advance. So if you know you're going on the 28th of April, you download the app and you book your dinner there. And then please, if you're going on Sun Princess, book this Tapanaki because it's unbelievable. But because we were on the press trip, we had to go down at 11 o'clock in the morning. We had the full dinner at 11 o'clock in the morning on St. Patrick's Day. We were going down the ship.
Class.
Donal had a green t-shirt on him that I think he borrowed from the wife. What?
No, it didn't. It said cheers, fuckers.
Cheers, fuckers.
And I had my cowboy hat.
But it was showing a bit of cleavage and it was showing a bit of belly.
Fuck off, you bikes. Look at the stage here. The difference is, riding me, you'd have comfort. Riding you would be like cycling a bike along a railway track. You feel every bump. Look, he's not the fucking man we thought he is. I had him in the gym, folks. He didn't mention that part. We pushed over that very fucking quickly.
Hey, how many days were you in the gym? Because I was down there four days.
And you still wouldn't have caught up with me.
How many days were you down there?
I was weightlifting at the bear for the rest of it.
So anyway, he had the wife's t-shirt on him. What did it say on the t-shirt?
Cheers, fuckers.
Cheers, fuckers. It was a green t-shirt. I had the Mayo jersey on. And for some reason, every American in the past just was shouting Happy St. Patrick's Day at us.
Yeah, they were taking pictures at us.
We must have looked like two leprechauns wandering around the boat.
Oh my God. No, Eric had his Opel jersey on.
Now, everyone was dressed in green, but for some reason, they took an awful shine to us.
Yeah, everyone took a shine to us. They thought you were a real leprechaun. Oh yeah. My God, it's a leprechaun.
They were rubbing my belly for good luck.
And is that his wand?
Then we went down to Tapanaki. Your man, Jason, was there cooking the food in front of us. And then he was firing it into your gob.
But it was class. We need to talk about that. Like, the steak was unbelievable. The rice, the whole lot. For anyone who hasn't done Tapanaki, they cook it in front of you. They're having the crack. But like, you cannot argue that cut of beef was the best cut of beef ever.
It was the nicest beef I've ever had in my life.
Unbelievable.
But everything was the nicest. It was the nicest fried rice I've ever had in my life. Like, the fried rice was unbelievable. And like, we're not even doing it justice. How is it... you know, it's just fried rice, but God almighty.
Yeah, but there was butter in it and soya, and the rice is made the day before, boiled and ashed up. It was class. Everyone around the table agreed to go back to that.
Yeah.
That was the highlight of the food for me, was the Tapanaki.
And there was four or five tables. We were the best crack table.
Oh yeah, but...
Every time he made something, there was a sing song. And we kept singing ole, 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 because it was Jason, our chef. It was his first day. And his manager kept going, walking past, right? And she'd walk past and she'd make a comment, smile, Jason. Where Jason was obviously pure out nervous around these paddies. And then we were making a big deal out
of him. Like cattle round the trough.
We were making a big deal out of Jason. And every time he gave out the food, we started singing, ole, 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 ole.
An English
lady. Right. So our table was facing another table. And there was an English journalist and she was staring us out of it.
Like a bulldog chewing a wasp.
She hated us. She was looking across. Donal was here in the green t-shirt with the hat on. Alan was in the Mayo jersey with the Narcos sunglasses on him. She looked across at us and she hated the fact that we were there.
Oh man.
Didn't she?
We had been at the magic show the night before and you had been called up and you rang your brother, Stephen, to do a trick. And I recorded it.
Now, we were told there was no filming allowed.
I was missing for that part.
We were told going into this building that there's no filming allowed in here. You go in and you enjoy the experience and you come out.
That was for everybody listening.
As part of the trick,
yeah.
The magician asked me to call somebody in Ireland, get them to pick a card and he will tell us what card it was. I went up onto the stage, I rang my brother, I said, think of a card. He said, five of spades. The magician goes, five of spades. How did he do that?
Well, we could have watched it back in the video, but I had to delete it.
So anyway, Donal put it up and this journalist went off the head. There's supposed to be no filming in here, blah, blah, blah. Got us a slap on the wrist.
That was complaint number one put in about.
That was the first slap on the wrist.
Of course, she had to be from Townland.
So anyway, we got a slap on the wrist. Then we were asked to delete the video because we shouldn't be filming in there. That was sound,
so
right?
So she was opposite us then.
Now, we were killing the content. We were killing it. And they were loving us. So we got away with it. They were like, lads, you're doing mighty, but will you take down that video? Right. So then the next day at dinner, her staring over, like you said, like a bulldog chewing a wasp.
Well, then she I knew it was her. You pointed her out to me. So I made it my business then.
Actually, we weren't wearing the hat or sunglasses at this stage.
Oh yeah, till we found out.
We found out she was staring at us, so we put on the hat and sunglasses to piss her off even more.
Oh my God, she was looking, and she was very, very posh, and she was looking, look at the state. She was like, Irish buffoons.
Look at the Irish riffraff over there. Eating.
Louder I got, and more culture I got.
We started singing Maggie's Drawers, we started singing Ole Ole Ole, we started singing Queen, all different songs.
I was getting to Camogie Black and Tans, but I stopped.
We stopped just short of it.
Just short of it.
And it was a great experience. The cocktails were lovely. The food was lovely. Jason left feeling 2 foot taller, didn't he?
He did, but he was class. Top
we
class.
Pulled over the manager. We said, or Phoebe was her name. We said, Phoebe, Jason's the man. He is the man. She said, it's his first day. We said, he's class. He's an unreal chef. He's great crack. And we were loving it. We were loving life. And we finished there at 1 o'clock in the day.
Oh yeah.
And the day hadn't even started. Like, we had 2 hours of savage crack, and it was only 1 o'clock.
And then to O'Malley's for green beer.
Over to O'Malley's then, green beer. I went on a tour of the ship then. I left you to it.
Oh, you did, yeah. You were very professional. Very professional. This, ladies and gentlemen, this man never stopped. Like, you know, I was letting myself go. It was Patrick's Day, and that's a national holiday for the people of Ireland. No, Alan went off to see how they made the dinner. He went up to meet the captain of the ship, which is Mayo Jersey.
And everyone saying happy St. Patrick's Day to me. So I have to talk about this experience for a second.
Yep, go for
it. I went down into the galley where they make all the food, and I was given a tour of where they make all the food and shown the ovens, and they keep the plates at a certain temperature so your food stays warm. And they brought 160 tons of food onto the ship the day they set sail. 160 tons of food, 90 tons of drink. They use 1,200 eggs a day. They use 600 kilos of rice every day, and everything is cooked fresh.
But in the morning when you pull up at the dock and you see them loading on the stuff, arctics and arctics of stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah.
From a business point of view and an organisational point of view, to see this stuff been loaded on. And they take the pallets away. You were saying they won't allow them to bring on the pallets.
The food and beverage manager was saying that they're not allowed to have a pallet on the ship for any longer than 12 hours. Yeah. Then, you know, if you were buying a pallet of tomatoes, it had to be the minimum amount of boxes. All because they had to recycle everything.
The
beach get it off
told
the ship
me
again.
About the biomass boiler. I
yes.
love that.
So they were saying that they have a huge effort in reducing and recycling. So basically, everything is cooked fresh. The only thing they don't have a control of is the bread, because the bread is on the table before you sit down. So there's a wastage of bread, but everything else is more controllable because it's made fresh to order. But any food that's left over goes into a biodigester. And it's whittled down then.
Digester, not boiler.
So. Yeah, whittled down and then processed and turned into fish food.
Yeah, which is excellent because, like, at the moment they're trying to apply for planning permission for a biogas one here in Swinford.
Yeah.
And there is one in Ballyhadrine.
There's big protests about that, though.
There is, but because people are totally uneducated and don't understand what they do, when they really just think that, you know, it's okay. Very simple. You feed it, it creates a gas. You feed it with silage, slurry, stuff like that. The one in Ballyhadrine, it puts out a pellet that quells your bite to put around the trees. So what they're doing in the ship is the same thing. They're feeding in all the waste food and creating a food out of it and a gas out of it.
Yeah, because I had even said to him, what happens to the waste dishwasher? He showed us the dishwashers and he showed us the ice machines. The ice machines are self-cleaning. He said it's the first ship that they have these self-cleaning machines because they can be boarded at any time by a local health authority, so they could go.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, the ship was far cleaner than some of the spots we visited off the ship. So the health authority,
you could eat your dinner off the floor.
Oh man.
But I found that really interesting, obviously, because I had studied hotel management, and it was really interesting learning about all the central system. All the orders go into this central system. Then there's a pasta station, a fish station, and everything then is done at the same time.
But talk about that central station, because that little blue thingy you had that you tapped to get the drink, no matter where you moved in the boat or the ship, the food or the drink would follow you.
So I have a story up, or it might be in the highlights. I was at the very back of the ship the day you went off to Crete, and I was at the back of the ship and I ordered food and a drink on the app. And 7 minutes later, I had the food and the drink on my lap. And I didn't have to say where I was.
Unreal.
They knew where I was because of the medallion. It's some service. Then I went up to the captain's deck and they were showing us around up there. Really interesting. There was.
You were like your man and father Ted above in the cockpit. Oh, don't touch the button.
Well, I think I should get the parachute because I'm great.
There's me in the nip with a dog.
And that was really interesting. The captain, I have to say as well, the captain was very obliging, very friendly, gave everyone loads of time. And he was just really, really nice, kind man. And that, you know, he gave everyone a lot of time. And then straight back down to the bar. There was Donal on his 14th pint of green Heineken.
Look, you're making me out that I never left the bar. But during that day, excuse me now, thank you very much, I went for sushi. And we got teppanyaki boxes in the VIP section.
Oh, where was I?
You were off doing your jobs.
Oh, I was working and you were at the back of the ship.
Listen here now, honey.
Like a cat licking yourself.
I was on the relaxing end of this tour.
Yeah.
Oh, but it was unbelievable. For anyone that doesn't know what tapping or for what sushi is, or a bento box, it has like all these little trays in it, like you'd give to a child or on a prison train. Shawshank Redemption. And it has all the little bits in it, and it was delicious.
So you were up at the top deck living your best life.
Sure, any man that hasn't had 14 pints and a teppanyaki and a sushi box, bento box by 4 o'clock in the day is only cotton himself.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, green sushi.
Do you like sushi?
Oh man, I never ate it till I went to London, and my boss used to live in Canada and he loved it. It was big over there and I had sushi twice a week.
I'm not sure if you can hear that, but there's a huge glass window in the front of this house and the rain is coming in sideways.
Yeah, look at that boy.
That's tropical rain now, isn't it?
You wouldn't put the mother-in-law out in that now.
Oh, I wouldn't let a fox out of a hen house in that weather.
Yeah, tropical.
Holy moly.
Ideal conditions for the black beetle.
I went on the tour. This was St. Patrick's Day. How did they make the Heineken green?
Food dye, I asked her. So they put a little, of course, I was fascinated by this. Little bit of food dye in first, then in with the Heineken, she turns fully green. But I learned more drinks that the Yanks do it so much more than we do. They were having an Irish car bomb. And I was there, what is this? I own a pub. I live in Ireland. There's no such thing as an Irish car bomb. So they got bottles of Guinness, half filled the glasses, and then they got Baileys, filled the Baileys glasses, stood them up on top of it, and one after another, they clinked in. Baileys mixed with Guinness. I was like, well, you want the toilet paper put into the fridge?
I went down after dinner one night, and I just had one nightcap before bed. To be fair now, I didn't go mad all week.
You're so well behaved. A packet of wine gums is all he had every night.
So I went down anyway, and I asked for a nightcap, and I said, give me Baileys. And the barman goes, would you like that with ice? And Donald says, no, he'd like it with hot stones. And your man just froze on the spot. And he was like, huh?
But the poor old divils, see, they weren't juiced. Like, it was an Irish bar ran by a crew from out far in some place. Do you know what I mean? They didn't realise at all how it should go. Like, even...
Well, all the staff, I think, are hired in America.
Yeah, Bermuda, yeah. The company's registered in, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't know the crack.
No, but we soon showed them.
Yeah, we showed them how to run an Irish bar.
Yeah.
And then, so how did the Paddy's Day end then? I'm just trying to think. I can't remember. It's all a blur. So
was it the night of the Tucks?
No, that wasn't the Paddy's Day. Oh, was that the same day?
Or was it the Riverdance night?
I can't remember. Anyway, the next day then we got up and we went to Sorrento. We'll tell it like this anyway.
Yeah,
and we can come back to the Tucks another night. But we went to Sorrento the next morning. We got off the ship. I said to Donal, how are you? We're going to Sorrento. Do you want to come? You said, yeah, sound. We got down off the ship and...
half the cash from taken. We're standing waiting for us again.
Hey, it was scary now. Ooh, Let's tell the truth here. You come out the door of the ship and there's 10 men now that look...
black leather jackets, hoodies, sunglasses.
Half the cast of Taken is a good description, right? So they're saying, do you want to go here? Do you want to go there? Do you want to go wherever? Now, the cruise company have no control over this. Like, this is, you're on your own. Once you get off the ship, you're on your own and it's your responsibility. And you just have to have a bit of cop on. Same as you would.
Spare underpants and a gum shield.
The same as you would if you were on any other trip. But you can book excursions. If we were cute, we would have booked the excursion where we went on the private bus at the door of the ship and we headed off. But we didn't. We said, we'll go and we'll do our own thing. We went outside the gate of the dock and then we met the cast of Taken and we asked them, will you bring us to Sorrento? Your man goes, yes, it'll be €30 per person. We'll bring you to Sorrento in this minibus. Get in. So I said, hang on now a second. Can we get him down a bit? Then there was a bit of haggling, blah, blah. €30. Now, you stayed out of
Mandy.
The reason you stayed out of it, because the thought of getting into a minibus and driving for 45 minutes was making you violently
ill. An hour and 20 minutes.
Right, so anyway. Oh
God, I don't mind if I'm driving, but I hate being a passenger.
So somebody anyway was doing the haggling and suddenly then we were all in this minibus on our way to Sorrento for €30 a head. Then we were coming into a place called, what was the
Pompeii.
Name?
Pompeii.
We were coming into Pompeii and your man goes, how are you doing? You've arrived in Pompeii. And we said, why are we in Pompeii? He says, that's what you said. €30 to Pompeii. And I was in the front and I was doing the talking. And I said, listen here now, Seamus, no one said Pompeii. And he goes, yeah, yeah, we're in Pompeii. And I said, no, no one mentioned Pompeii. What are you talking about? We're going to Sorrento. He goes, no, no, no. Sorrento's another 35 minutes. It'll be another 30 or 40 euros per person. We said, oh, this is a scam straight away. So
the
we said,
one deal I let you do. The one deal I let yourself and Mandy do.
I didn't have anything to do with this deal.
You're getting right now. You're no point getting it at all.
Anyway, we said, ring the boss there. The boss comes on the phone. How are you doing? You're in Pompeii. We said, yeah, we know we're in fucking Pompeii, but we don't want to be in Pompeii. We didn't even know where.
You not understand what you said. That's what they said.
I think I says to him, listen, Seamus, I didn't even know where fucking Pompeii was on the map. So I don't know why we're here. And he goes, yeah, you're in Pompeii. So if you want to go to Sorrento, it's another 30 euros. We said, stop the bus. Let us out.
Joe Brawley was in the back going stone mad.
He was ready to. He was.
Joe, will you sit down, will you?
He was in the kids' seats in the back. We had to fold out the seat for him. Baz asked, while we was driving the minibus, and we said, Baz.
And I was sitting beside Christy Kinahan. Poor old Brian. That's what we got shafted for, because they thought we had the main drug man beside us.
So we said, stop the bus and let us out. Your man was getting all frustrated. He said, my boss this, my boss that. You said, hey, your boss is two ends of a bollocks.
Yeah. And I ring my boss, and the boss came on the phone. You not understand what you say. You say Pompeii. There wasn't a mention of Pompeii.
No one mentioned Pompeii.
I said, you've took us for a ride now like a good man.
Anyway, we settled for 10 euros each.
But he's as cute as the forest monkeys, because within 10 minutes then we were in the gelato factory and he winked at your man going in the door.
Yeah.
So he gets paid to bring you to all these fucking places.
Yeah, we were in there anyway and he says, come
gelato,
in here. No, limoncello. Come in here and taste limoncello.
Gelato,
so we win the door anyway and your one gives us a taste of limoncello. I'm not messing. She gave us a teardrop of limoncello. Didn't she though?
It wasn't even a urine sample.
We looked into this little cup and there was a teardrop of limoncello in the cup and we said, here, go again. And she said, if you like it, I'll give you more. So anyway, he was on commission.
For
anything we bought there, if we bought limoncello or whatever. But that's...
Jeez, I didn't buy a lot.
That's on holidays though, that happens.
I left them a present in the Jacks and we hit for the road again.
He dropped the kids at the pool and we hit the road again. Now I wouldn't diss a bus driver stopping at a factory. That happens in Ireland, Donald. Like, that happens everywhere. That's tourism.
I know. If I sit in a taxi and say, I want to go here, I expect to be brought straight there.
But we asked. Mandy asked to stop. Mandy asked to stop for a coffee.
Well, I didn't hear that.
No.
So maybe poor old Pesci wasn't the worst.
Mandy asked to stop for a coffee. He said, there's a limoncello factory in here and they do coffee. Do you want to go in? And we had say in that. So I wouldn't run him down for that. So then we stopped for the coffee there. You dropped the kids at the pool. We got back into the bus and then we went to Sorrento. He did want to bring us to a restaurant in Sorrento. We said, just stop the bus. Let us out. We'll do our own thing and we'll see you in an hour. Thanks, Seamus.
Oh, Sorrento was lovely though.
So we wandered around Sorrento. We did the video then. I went up on your shoulders. We went into...
No, tell them the real story now. You were tired. I had to carry it. No. This is the real story. My legs are sore. I was in the gym yesterday. It was legs day. I said, look, Clark, I'll fucking carry you. And don't be fucking kidding yourself. Jump up there. So I fired him up.
He fired me up like a bag of cement, up on his shoulders. We were going around Sorrento. I was up. I had a great view. I got you an orange, didn't I?
You did. The sourest orange I ever. Didn't I make the mistake of peeling it and put it into my mouth?
He peeled it, put it into his mouth. He nearly choked. I nearly fell off his shoulders. We were wandering around Sorrento. We went for something to eat. I got the most beautiful spaghetti bolognese I've ever had in my life. You had a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the Irish bar because, sure, you're not on holidays unless you find an Irish bar.
Yeah, and the fella in the Irish bar, he didn't know what to
make. Can I tell a funny story about this? We went into the Irish bar and I said to Donal, here, take a pint and split the G or whatever. So Donal went in and he was supposed to split the G, but he didn't. He downed the whole pint. He turned to me and he goes, bleh, that's piss altogether.
No, pure shite.
Pure piss. Pure piss, he said, right? Alan bangs it up on Instagram. So Donal here drinking a pint of Guinness, saying it's pure piss. Meanwhile, another man who was in our party, Brian, showing the owner of the bar, oh, this is Alan Clark here. Follow him on Instagram. He has great content. I'm here shouting, no, don't tell him to follow us till we're gone. Your man goes, I'm following you now. Donal and Alan run down to the back of the pub trying to delete this video of him saying the Guinness is pure piss. And we had just deleted it in time.
And then we decided we'd do the field.
Go on, Tyke.
We got him to change the music. That's how it came about. He had some old schlobber on that wasn't Irish. He said, Irish pub, Irish music, put it on.
Yeah.
And so then the dancing started. I said, go on, Tyke.
I started dancing with Mandy. I was dancing with the Tinker's daughter, like the field. And you were the Bull McCabe shouting, go on, Tyke. That's my boy.
Yeah.
That's my boy. Then we got back into the minibus with the cast of Taken, and we went straight back to the ship.
Correct and right.
Onto the ship then, and was this formal night, or I don't know what night was formal
night. The night before was formal night. But anyways, we can pretend it was formal night. Tuxes.
So we went up to the room, we put on the tuxes, and we went down for dinner.
I had a cow kefir.
Poor old Eric didn't get the memo.
Eric didn't. He showed up in his Foxford Woolamill jumper. He did. The poor divline. He was like a booking that was after doing his confirmation.
He was like an American on tour in Connemara.
Oh my God, guys.
No, it was Ralph Lauren. It was a Ralph Lauren.
That he bought in Turkey.
No, I think it was genuine.
No, I licked it. It didn't change colours. It wasn't. It wasn't Ralph Lauren jumper.
I'm pretty sure it was. I'm going to defend him here and say that it was a genuine Ralph Lauren Aaron jumper. And he did look very well.
Look, whatever way you want to go, Clark, whatever way you want to go.
We went for dinner then. Donal had to pull out before the dessert came. You were under pressure. The heat was at you.
So I was watching the camera and I couldn't say it to anyone, but I could see this heifer getting in to bother Kev and Jack's heifer, Sammy, and I had to go.
But apart from that, the heat was at you. The calf was at you. The heat was at you.
Yeah, I don't like dicky bows.
The dicky bow was getting tighter and tighter, yeah. And you were pulling and you were yanking it. And you had no sooner the dinner gone and you were out of there, you said, I'm going to go to the toilet, but you didn't come back.
And I ended up then getting roped into a band and I went up and played a few tunes.
So we went downstairs then, and the only single thing Donal had to do all week was get a photo. That's all. He had no jobs. Donal, come on the cruise. You can do what you want all week, but just be available for the photo at 9:30.
Oh, look, I'd look no good in RSVP magazine like the rest
on Sunday night.
It was the Farmer's Journal leaning in a wheel of a tractor, would have suited me.
So I went down anyway, down, and how are you doing? Donal, we have to go and get the photo. Can't go and get the photo taken. Why? I'm going singing Maggie's Drawers now. Right, sound. So Alan goes out, gets the photo taken, but literally takes 60 seconds. By the time I come in, I'm in the bar and all I can hear is, they were tattered, they were touring round the gearbox.
It was a big hit. There was Yanks in it, I'm telling you. It was a big hit.
The Yanks were loving it.
And there was a bower on behind the bar and I gave that wiggin.
Donal was up on stage and he looked like he was about to have a heart attack.
Oh, the lads from Cashel Bar.
See, can we?
Huge shout out to Shane Walsh. You know, the fiddle player let me down there, really, when you think about it.
And if you haven't seen that video online, Donald's face is a shade of red now. I was looking for a defib on the boat.
I was giving it wigging, and I had played the bower on two reels before that, so I was shook like.
I had said, Charlotte, where is the nearest defib? We'll probably need it in the next minute or two. He was hitting the high notes, and I thought, it's going to be game over here.
The sweat was rolling out of me.
Rolling?
I had played the bower on, I'd say, since Christmas, and them two bucks are professional. Like Shane, I think, was with Riverdance at one fucking stage.
Right.
The other lad, I can't think of the name, he's excellent, he's from Scotland. Like, such a pair of musicians.
Yeah.
And look, they kept with me, would you say that?
They kept up with you.
They kept with me.
That was formal night, and
the Italian bird had to be that night, so was it?
Right. What night was she? No, she was the last night, because I was wearing my...
Sorrento was the last night.
I was wearing my mad shirt the last night, I remember that. That was the night we did the video with Eric, where the three of us, he was going, you have to keep drinking.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway...
Harry Potter.
I was at the bar talking to an American lady, because she heard my voice and she goes, are you from Ireland? And I was like, yeah, I'm from Ireland. She goes, oh my God, what part of Ireland are you from? I'm from Philadelphia, blah, blah. She was telling me she owned an aesthetics clinic in California. And I'd say now, if she went too close to a candle, she'd melt, this lady.
Well, not with the whole eye.
this lady, I tell you one thing.
She had the lips like she was blown into a hot exhaust to a car. They were swelled a bit. Do you know, she'd be great for cooling soup. She was. So I lifted Clark up in the stool beside her and I left you at it.
Right. And I was chatting away to her. But then this other lady came over.
So, yeah, Charlotte introduced this
No, she didn't. She didn't. No, she didn't.
How did it happen, sir?
That's not how it happened at all. We weren't introduced to her. She was sharing content and I liked her content. Right?
So you drew her upon us.
I liked her content. Because I was asked to like her content, because she's part of the group.
Okay, right.
So I started liking her content.
Okay.
And then, how are you doing? When I was at the bar talking to the American lady, she comes over in a very abrupt manner. I wouldn't say she's Italian. I'd say she's more Russian.
She was like something that came out of fucking Auschwitz.
She was like a Bond villain.
How many followers have you?
She was like a Bond villain.
A Bond villain is the perfect way to describe it.
Yeah. So anyway, she walks over, starts talking to me, and the American lady... Now, this American lady is in her late 60s to early 90s. It's hard to tell. right?
She was like, you wonder something about Mary, the landlord.
So we didn't know what age she was. So she comes over in between the two of us very abruptly. And the American lady goes, is this your girlfriend? And I said, no. I'm literally just after meeting this lady right now, this second. I don't know who she is. Well, I know who she is, but I said, I'm just after meeting her now. And the American lady was looking, going, this is very strange. And I was like, yes, this is very strange. So she was telling me about her clinic in America and blah, blah, blah. And I was just amazed by this woman. I was staring at her going, I just couldn't figure out what age she was. I'd say they wheeled her out of a freezer in California for the week. I was trying to figure out, and I didn't want to ask her, but she was definitely in her early hundreds.
She was.
But she looked about 40.
She did, but you could tell, like, she can't smile, like, her face is sort of stuck.
I was amazed by her. I was just absolutely amazed. I was like, what are those things where you stick the hand up and you...
You just
move their mouth, but nothing else moves. That's what she looked like to me. So anyway, I was knocking great crack out of her, and I was dying to ask her what she got done, but I didn't. Then the Russian lady went over and sat beside ye.
My Lord, was she sorry.
So ye went over to the corner, and ye all sat down.
There was myself, Eric on the pants, and his mother. And she came over, like, she's very rude. She doesn't smile or anything.
Now, she didn't say hello to Eric.
Oh, no. She sat down, how many followers have you?
Yes. That's how she introduced herself to
Eric. For everyone to understand, Alan has a few hundred thousand followers. So does Eric. I had, this stage, had 10,000 followers. Right? So
she looked at you like you're a piece of dirt.
And what I was doing was, I was talking fast, so she sort of would understand some and not the other. But Eric and his mother could understand to make them laugh.
Right.
So she sort of said, how many followers have you? And I said, oh, I have a few hundred thousand as well, yeah. And then she said to Eric, so she was looking at Eric and she was well impressed because he had a few hundred thousand followers. She goes, oh, yes, your content is very good. And are you getting paid for this trip?
No, before that, yes. Before that, she had introduced herself to Eric and she said, how many followers do you have? That's how she didn't say hello. This is me.
Yes,
this is my name. And Eric goes, oh, I don't know, like, you know, Eric now, he's very modest. He said, I don't know, is it something like 364,732 followers the last time I checked? And she goes, then she was sickened because she checked her phone and he had more followers than her.
Yes.
So that took the wind out of her sails. So Alan then sits over beside Francis, and Alan says, I think it's very rude me sitting here. I better go over and sit beside her. And Francis says, best of luck to you.
Yeah, because we at this stage had the full infliction of her.
So I sat down beside her and I was making an effort to try and include her into the group. And I was like, how are you doing anyway? And I quickly realised that was a mistake. And then she says to me, you know, she was trying to ask me, are you a comedian? And I said, no, I'm not a comedian. I'm a messer. She didn't know what a messer was. And then she made a comment to me. My engagement used to be better when I was small time like you. Ooh. And I said, oh.
She was on about before she got her high heels. Like.
So I said, what does that mean? And she said, oh, you're a very small time creator because you only have 120,000 followers. And I said, oh, right. Okay, I'm a small time. And she goes, yeah, you're very small time. But my engagement used to be good when I was small time like you. But now I'm big time with her 350,000 followers. Her engagement isn't as good. And I'm just wondering why. Maybe it's because I don't have humor or whatever. That was fine. So then Eric had overheard the conversation and fair fucks to him. He leans in and he goes, aye. When I was small time like you, he says to her, my engagement was much better as well. And there was only 2,000 in the difference between him and her. But she didn't get it. It went straight over her head.
She got nothing. Like,
no.
She had zero sense of humour.
So then the question came up about money. Are you getting paid to be on this trip? And Alan went, oh, Jesus, I don't know. Now I've talked to Mandy. I don't know anything about that.
I jumped in to answer the question.
I'm not getting involved. So she said, who's Mandy? I said, oh, Mandy's my manager. She's over there. If you want to talk to her, talk to her anyway. Donald goes, yeah, I'm getting $8,000 to be here.
Yeah.
$8,000 cash. Spits in the hand. $8,000 cash, boy.
And Eric goes, yeah. No, he started laughing. And she goes, are you making a joke at me? And Eric goes, no, yeah, 8,000 is what we're getting.
No, what Eric said was, I'm getting a few pound more now because I have a few more followers than Donal.
A few more Daniel O'Donnell albums.
No, he has 350,000 more followers than Donal. But he goes, I'm getting a few pound more now because I have a few more followers. Anyway.
We sort of left.
Her face went red.
Oh, yeah. Stout.
Because she looks at these three eejits from Ireland and Donal had her told we're all getting $8,000 each. Now,
I could tell how serious she was.
Full disclosure, we weren't paid.
No, we weren't, but she had it swallied.
Oh, she was sick.
And she started getting thick. And again, I just started talking fast to Niner. So I forgot all about it now.
Now, tell what? The truth.
What?
You had come up with a cunning plan to try and get away.
Oh, I went.
No, no, no. Donald stands up, right? Donald stands up. And he, I don't know, did you pretend to be on the phone? Or you said, right, we said we were going meeting Brian in that bar at 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock, come on. And then Eric goes, are we not going doing this video? And Eric goes, sit down there and do the video. Donald leaned into Eric. He goes, are you fucking serious? This was a plan to get out of here. And I was standing up and you're making me sit down again. Donald was fuming. So we sat down again. We had to do this Harry Potter video. The Harry Potter video had finished. Donald was gone.
But she was looking at us making the video thinking, what in the fuck?
Oh, she was another one that
these books
hated our guts. So anyway, Alan, Francis, Eric sitting there. And this lady in the other couch looking over at us, all very awkward, no one saying anything. Eric then takes his phone out of his pocket and goes, hello? Aye, yeah, yeah. I'll come and get you. Walks off.
Yeah, the two of us had left, you know.
So me and Francis are looking at Eric walking off. And we go, where are you going? Oh, I'm just going to find Fergal. He's lost. So suddenly me and Francis were left then with the Italian-Russian Bond villain. And Frances goes, she leans into me and she goes, I'm going to fucking kill him. So me and Frances are here. So Alan does a big yawn. Oh, I'm going to go to bed. And she goes, are you going to bed?
I will come up with you.
I said, yeah, yeah, geez, I'm going to hit the hay. Yeah, I'm wrecked.
Jesus, she got you above in the room. She do damage.
And she goes,
she'd be very serious now.
Oh, yeah.
She'd take out, she'd do bed stuff that one.
So I said, I'm hitting the hay anyway. Francis goes, are you going to bed? I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Francis goes, ah, sure, I'll wander off.
I'll join you.
So Francis wandered off into the Irish bar. I wandered off into the Irish bar. And anyway, we thought, this is grand now. We're sound. 2 hours later, didn't I bump into her upstairs in a different bar? And she comes straight over to me. I thought you were going to bed. I said, oh, sure, I thought I was going to bed myself. I couldn't get away and I'm stuck talking. And you know yourself, you get stuck talking shite down to somebody. And here we are, 2 hours later. I'm going to bed now in 5 minutes' time. Where is Eric? I said, I don't know. I haven't seen him since. I like Eric.
Oh, yeah.
I said, okay, yeah, yeah. Eric is funny. Okay, very good, yeah, sound. And that was the end of the conversation. So then when we were upstairs, it was brought to my attention that she had been talking about the Irish people downstairs and she had described the three Irish men as three Irish idiots on
no,
the ship.
I've been described as many things, but an idiot is one.
I can guarantee you it was.
Well, at least hadn't I my 8 grand and she had nothing. Oh, she was usually offended she didn't get paid.
Yeah, the three Irish idiots. Now, when she was sitting beside us, well, she couldn't say enough. She said, oh, your humour, your videos are so funny, you're this, that and the other.
She knows an awful lot about the prize cattle.
But anyway, that's how she had described us upstairs to another group of people.
The Bond villain.
The three Irish idiots downstairs.
So then we had to pack up, say our goodbyes.
Now, we had to pack up, say our goodbyes, and we got wind of an early flight leaving. I owe you money.
It's all right, don't worry about it.
I meant to bring it over. I'll get you again.
Oh, yeah.
No, I genuinely did mean to bring it over. But anyway, we got wind of an early flight. There's a flight leaving at 7 o'clock. We weren't supposed to leave till 1 or 2 in the day. Donald goes, we're booking that flight. We're getting out of here because at least we'll be back in Ireland at 1 o'clock. We'll get half a day's work done and we'll be at home. We were driving out the motorway out of Dublin and they were only getting on the plane in Rome, and how happy were we?
But how well we were looked after to get to the plane.
So
like, the bags, like the logistics with the bags, blew me away.
So
we had kept our bags because we were leaving earlier, but everyone else had to leave them outside the night before. So when we got down to the warehouse or the departures where you walk through, there was thousands of bags all put into zones, red zones, blue zones. They put you on your bus, and when you get off the bus at the airport, there was a fella there to meet you from Princess Cruises to bring you to the gate and pull your bag along.
Yeah.
Like the service, man.
It was epic.
And then we got a little overcharged for the bag.
We went into the airport then and I was over 3 kgs and you were over 3 kgs and we had tried everything. We had tried the bag half on, half off. They weren't falling for it. We had tried a few little stunts. We were smiling at them. We were killing them with kindness. We were telling them that they were the nicest women we've ever met in all our lives. And then she goes, it's €11 a kg and you're over 6 kgs, it's €66.
60. Well, we helped Michael O'Leary, the poor old devil, like he is struggling.
But isn't it such an anticlimax after the week you've had to be at the back of that queue? waiting in the airport.
There's no 5-star there. Priority my arse.
Half an hour, 40 minutes waiting to get there to be screwed for another 66 euros. I tell you one thing, it's a come down and a half.
It is.
One desk open. In the whole airport.
But the amount of people that were upset in that queue. The amount of people that started skipping the queue. The amount of staff that were
upset. Wasn't a chaos though, Donald.
But it's, look, there's no need for it.
One single desk.
These are all machines that don't work and bags of waste and you have to then join it.
Oh, it was chaos.
That was the only fault I had.
Yeah.
Was that.
It was chaos. Mm. So I had bought a few bits in Turkey. You had bought a few bits in Turkey. It came to... So that was the goodness gone out of the cheap stuff in Turkey now.
It was. It was heavyweight stuff now.
Straight onto the plane, home to Ireland. Everything went well then. Got into the car, down the road.
You drove. I answered messages and emails and calls and we were straight back at it. And look, it was serious. To sum it all up, if you have to give it out of 10, I give it 10 out of 10.
Oh, I'd give it 11 out of 10. And it's something, I expected it to be different. I expected it to be full of retired couples and it was all ages.
Yeah, but the people loved it. You know, the amount of messages, and I came off social media for a few days just to detox, but the amount of people that came on to me, and this morning I went back on and I said to them, right folks, delighted to be back, and the amount of people goes, you have to cruise. Well, the results are in, Alan Clark.
Right.
The results are in. Okay, how many people voted? And the percentage, 98% of the people want us to do a cruise. Only 2% didn't, right?
And those 2% would give you the shits anyway. Yeah, we don't want them.
Look, will you stop? And 2%, 98 out of 7,000 people voted, Mr. Clark.
Wow.
And she's still going strong.
Right.
So, Burden's Boat, we're going to call it.
Can we not call it Big Red Cruises?
I like it.
Big News Cruises. Red News Cruises.
I don't know.
So, where are we at now? We came home. The poll. Oh, there's a load of questions to rattle through here, but I wanted to talk about the airport lounge. This is awful funny and people might find this funny. Donald, we get to Dublin Airport. Donald goes, we're going into the airport lounge. I said, have you it booked? No, I have a thing here. I have a thing in my pocket.
It's called a priority pass, you bollocks.
He goes, I have a thing in my pocket here. It entitles me to airport lounges for 12 months. Where did you get it?
You get it online, priority pass, 100 quid a year, and entitles to you and a guest in any lounge.
Oh.
Well, in airports that accept it.
Right. And he takes this piece of paper out of his pocket,
well,
right?
Well, I lost the carriage, you see.
And there's a QR code on the piece of paper.
Yeah.
Right. Imagine this now. Imagine this piece of paper that is folded about 16 times. And the centre of the QR code is the centre of the fold. So there's about 16 folds across this QR code. You don't even know it's a QR. The CIA couldn't even decipher this QR code at this stage. So we get to the counter. We get to the counter and your one is here scanning it. She's scanning it and it's not scanning. And Donal Byrne is standing over her and Alan Clark is standing over her. And we're looking down at her as if to say, what's the delay? What's the delay?
Here's my piece of paper. I laminate the next one.
And she's so embarrassed that this thing isn't scanning that she just lets us go.
No, she didn't. She typed in the number, you smart
No,
bollocks.
Nothing came up.
She did. Shut up. Nothing. My priority pass number was on it.
Right?
So he's only jealous he doesn't have one.
She goes, go on. So we ended.
And he went in the cunt and he filled his bag with everything that was out of the fridge. He took fucking butter, biscuits, granola bears. He went in. He done everything better. Have a fucking shower.
Do you know what I took? Yeah. Do you know what I took? I took one single biscuit for the plane.
But you know what I took? Nothing.
One biscuit.
Nothing.
I said, I'll enjoy that biscuit now with a cup of tea on the plane.
You don't ever think I'll make sandwiches.
So on the way back then, we did the same thing in Rome. Up to the desk. How you doing? Donald Byrne, Alan Clark. We've arrived for the airport lounge.
Our names should be on the list.
Piece of paper. And the same thing again. She's there trying to scan it. And her apologising. I had to laugh at this. I had to laugh. Her going, oh, I'm very sorry about this, Mr. Byrne. I'm very sorry. This machine isn't working. And I'm here going, this QR code is no more a QR code. And Donald's standing there with the arms folded as if to say, what's the delay, madam? I should be in now having my granola.
But
and then she gave us the nod
wasn't
in again.
The Irish one so ahead of the Italian one?
And I says to Donald, that QR code is no more
it
a QR
code. Look at this. And I bet you we weren't fucking in the lounge and you were Google Priority Plus. That's a free plug for them now as well there, by the way.
Yeah. No, I've been in it before and the Dublin one is
and the Dublin one was class.
It's miles ahead of any airport I've been in. I was in the Lanzarote one. It wasn't worth talking about. The Rome one wasn't worth talking about.
Sure, but were you not brought out of the one in Knock Airport? I've never got into that. You really have to be a celebrity to get into that one.
Oh, yeah.
So the next time I'm going on holidays, which is this July, going to Lanzarote, I'll be looking for it.
That is another level altogether. But
the
Dublin,
QR code will work there.
The Dublin Priority Lounge is pretty good now, in fairness. Let's go down through some of the questions. So we need to wrap this up very quickly. I put up a poll here saying, have you any questions for Donal? What was the highlight of the trip for you before I open the questions? What was the highlight?
Playing with the two boys above. I think we played two Blash the Reels and it was class. It was electric.
The two boys in the bar?
Yeah, no, the two boys in the band. Shane Morden and I can't remember the guy from Scotland.
Okay.
Okay, that'd be... And what else? Then the Teppanyaki.
Yeah, that was definitely...
Teppanyaki was class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any low light? Is there anything you would have changed or did differently?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I probably wouldn't have slept as much. I'd have gone at it harder.
You slept about 45 minutes a night.
I know, but like that's time wasted. Wasted.
Were gone out of the room at 8 o'clock every morning.
But see, I'm awake normally at the same time every morning. I can't sleep.
Right.
That's what's wrong with me.
Yeah. No, the only thing I would say is it needs a bit of a nightclub or a late bar, doesn't it? See, there's nowhere it needs somewhere
with, to have a sing song.
A kind of small, dark, sing songy kind of place.
Yeah, yeah.
Where everywhere's big and bright and open and you're kind of afraid
for the heavy hitter, like.
To get the crack going because people are looking at you. I think if they had a little late bar there, they could keep the session going. Yeah. But it was only us though. We were the last ones up every night.
Yeah.
Weren't we?
We're the last off the boat. Like most mornings, everyone was gone off the boat.
Gone.
It was 8, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Right. No question. Thanks. You made my week. Don't leave anything out. It's the best laugh I've had this year. Have we left anything out? I don't think we... I
don't know. It's well covered there now.
I think so.
The video's covered a lot of it.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
What I'm asked an awful lot is, did we set up the belly slap?
Did we fuck set it up?
No.
No.
That was genuine.
That was take two or three because the towel near came down.
That was actually the very first take.
Oh, it was the very first
take. I didn't upload it until after. So the very first take, you were playing this Idle Eye music in the cabin.
In the bath. I always have the music on him in the shower. Everyone knows that knows me and goes out. And one of them was a reel.
So it was St. Patrick's Day. He had the reel going. And I put my phone down sitting on top of your phone. So it was taking the audio from your phone. The reel was playing on your phone. And it was beside my phone. And I said, we'll do this thing like the caravan and Father Ted. So the two of us were diddly-eye. Well, he hit me a belly slap that sent me flying.
So lucky there was a glass coffee table behind you that you didn't fucking hit it.
If I hit my head off that, it would have been game over.
It would have. And we just fired you out over the balcony so we wouldn't have to pull in the ship or delay anything.
And I showed the balcony on my stories where our neighbour's balcony, because it was the end one, it was longer, it was kind of overlooking.
L-shape.
It was overlooking our balcony and there was a Chinese man out there and he was staring in. And you had nearly dragged him in over his balcony, entire balcony. He was doing so much staring. I think you had said it to him at one stage, but he hadn't a clue where to look. So that wasn't set up. You caught me off the hop.
No, but it was a class bit of footage when you look back at it.
And people keep commenting on my toe. Apparently my toe sticks out at the bottom at the bottom of the bed. So apart from that, I don't think we've left anything else. I'm trying to think, is there anything we haven't covered?
No, like if you were on it a long time, you wouldn't need to be in clothes for every day. There's a laundress on every floor.
Yeah.
So you can go in and wash your clothes and iron them.
And they probably service the room twice a day.
Oh man, it was spotless.
Easily twice a day. Who was the big spoon on the first night?
What's the big spoon?
When you're spooning, who's the big spoon and the small spoon?
Well, look at the size of it. Of course I was the big spoon.
There was no talking that night. It was get in and go sleep.
Oh, you're recording me doing my wail, you bollocks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is Donald sleeping. If anyone doesn't know, this is how he sleeps.
I have to have about 12 pints to do it, but when I have the 12 pints, I can do it.
Did you get on each other's nerves being in such close proximity for the week?
I let you answer that one for me.
Oh, no, you didn't get on my nerves,
no,
genuinely.
No, we didn't. We got on well. I know we did. And we did an awful laugh. But we were so much time laughing. How in the fuck?
Yeah.
And if I didn't manage to get your nerves now on the bollocks and I was at.
No.
I never will.
No. Is it the norm to tip the staff in addition to the gratuities paid as part of the cruise
fare? Well, I told our fella don't eat any yellow snow. So what more tips do you want to be given them?
No, the package we're on, the tips are included and there's absolutely
I did one of the two soundbar staff, Shaw Wayne. I gave him a few bob. No, I think it'd be nice to
you tipped him a few bob because he had opened the bar 2 hours, 3 hours before he was supposed to open it.
I was quality control.
Would Donal go on the cruise with his wife and kids?
Yes. Donal go on the cruise with couples, wife and kids, me and the wife, me and me own. There'd be no bother.
What was the come down like after the holiday?
Well, look, it'd be different if... I suppose it's different for you and Eric and the influencers because that's your life. I had to come back to straight into work. You know, problems, houses, staff. Was he at work? Was he not at work? Is this delivery here? Is it there? So, look, that piece is always stressful. That's whenever I go on holidays.
Do you think I just come back and start living my best life?
Of course, Clark. You live a fucking life of a celebrity.
Fucking hell.
You went off and got a fucking facial. That's what I watched on Instagram.
Excuse me. We came back Tuesday.
Yeah.
I had the facial at 5 o'clock Friday.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah. And this is a necessity.
Okay. Right.
I wasn't in getting a... Is it suitable for a single woman in her 40s? Now, the only thing about the Sun Princess is it only has 4 single cabins. So, yes, it is suitable for a single person in their 40s. But
I wouldn't go on my own. I'd bring another few singletons with me for the crack or a couple, because the more of you that's in it, it caters for everyone.
Yeah. How many cocktails did Donald drink for the week?
I hit my quota of 15 every day, and I went over it one day when they rang you to go down and pay the bill with the yolk from the grave. Yeah. Other than that...
They rang and said, Donald's gone over his limit there. Just come on down and square up.
To client services, and there was a poor devil beside me paying his tab from the fucking casino, 11,000 euros. I felt a lot better about myself listening to that poor Chinese man.
Yeah. Is there a hairdresser on the ship? There's everything on the ship. There's a hairdresser, there's a beauty salon, there's a spa, there's a laundrette, there's a shop. You can
everything.
Buy jewellery.
It's a city on the sea.
Everything. How does he fit everything in? BRB, pub, family, gym, and stay so positive?
That is a very, very good question. I surround myself with positive people and good people at home, at work, friends, and that'll help you get through it.
I'm thinking of going with a teen/adult. Is there enough to do on board? Yes, loads to do.
Loads to do.
Would he consider the life of an entertainer on stage?
No, I think I'd burn it out. You know, all things in small doses. I think he'd be all sick listening to me.
Did you find the room small?
I didn't either. No, I didn't. No. Because the two big fuck-off suitcases, there was a little couch and a table and the bathroom. No, we had the rule, no number twos in the loo.
Yeah, you let us down one night.
No, I did not.
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it or smell it or see it, though, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, you didn't let us down. Do you hear that?
There was one night now. There was one night.
You were dragging your arse along a carpet like a fucking doggy in the world. You were.
And straight back into the doctor then because I had piles.
Oh my God, Clark, you poor devil. Were you diagnosed?
Oh, I was diagnosed with piles.
Oh.
Oh, can I tell you a story about that?
Yes.
So I went into the doctor and I said, how are you? I have an itchy arse. I'm dragging me arse along the carpet. And he goes, right, sound ya. And he gave me a cream and a suppository.
And did you put the suppository in yourself or did he do it for you?
No, I had to go to the chemist and get it.
And
so I left.
Brought it home.
I left the doctor's and I went into the chemist. Now, and I was a bit embarrassed about ordering suppositories. So I was standing in the queue at the chemist counter and there was 3 women behind the counter and one woman looked up like a meerkat and you could see her nudging the other one and then the other one. And there was like 3 meerkats looking out.
The Clark Buck is below now. He's a rash from the boat.
Did you see the Clark Buck is out there in the queue? And you could see the 3 of them looking out and me here in the queue with my little prescription for suppositories up me hole. Oh. And I had to go to the counter anyway. And your one comes to the counter and she goes, the suppositories have to be kept in the fridge.
Oh, well, at least they're cold going in then.
Well, I fucking wanted the ground.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
I wanted the ground to open up and eat me.
Well, no.
So I was asking the doctor, how do you get them? And he says, you just get them or you don't get them. He said, I said, is it something I did? Is it something I ate? Is it something, how do you get piles? And he goes, you just get them. Now, he said, if you got a dose of diarrhea, you get them fairly handy, easier. But I said, I don't think I had that. So I don't know how I got them.
So you got piles done anyways?
I'm halfway through my treatment now.
Halfway through.
I think I have 3 suppositories left. They're like little bullets.
Beautiful. Lovely gesture.
Yeah. Will Donald do a recommendation of an early morning cocktail?
You have to start with the Bloody Mary. Anyone that's used to drinking and been hungover on holidays, we'd have them in Spain every year. And you'd have 2 of them just to settle the stomach. And then I used to ask Shawin what was his favourite one. And it was, Never Mind the Rain Man, was that one. And the second one then was a green one. And I christened that Patrick's Day.
Lovely. I'm not for formally dressing up. Is that a necessity on board?
No, it is not. Look at Eric made a show himself when he said not. He was going around with arseless trousers in it.
There was genuinely people going around in shorts and t-shirt on the same night. It's entirely up to yourself whether you dress up or not on the formal night. Can I come with you next time? Did you ever see the Chinese guy again?
Which one?
The fella from the balcony.
Oh, he was standing. Sure, he was getting full-time entertainment. He was looking in.
He didn't know what to make of these 2 lads.
But he spent more time out in the balcony than he did in the room. Fucking nosy neighbour. He's another one of them arseholes.
When are you doing your own cruise? Donald, you have everyone driven demented here.
I know. I think, but look, let's think about this. right? The laugh we would have. We could have our own music, Stewie Miles and a heap more. You could do the podcast live on board. We could pick all the destinations to stop at, Father Ted quiz.
Yeah. What's the one thing that surprised you the most or that you didn't expect about the cruise?
Can I answer that honestly and you'll edit it out if you want?
No, answer it honestly.
The belter of a bird that you pulled. Wasn't expecting that now at all. I got an off fucking land, I'll be honest.
No. Oh no, we'll have to edit that out.
I think it's good to leave it in. The 2 bucks in the hot tub that we met from Ballandino. You weren't in the hot tub, Marcel and Jar. Your man's originally from
Ballandine. They were lovely lads. I only met them the last night. But
you can go no place. No place and someone knows you.
No, he wasn't actually from Ballandine.
No, his father was from Ballandine.
Because he was sick telling me that he was trying to tell you that he's not from Ballandine, but you wouldn't listen.
His father was from Ballandine, that was enough.
Yeah. So I said, are you the lad from Ballandine? He rolled his eyes and he goes, I'm not from Ballandine.
He goes on 3 cruises a year and he got married on a cruise ship last year. And he's from Ballandine.
Right. Have you answered that? Is that the one thing that surprised you the most?
Surprised me the most.
What surprised you the most?
I don't know. Everything was class. No, I can't say there was anything that jumped out at me.
What did you expect before you left?
Not a fucking lot.
But what did you... When you said, right, I'm going on a cruise for 5 days...
I expected to be filled with old retired people, you know, that we'd be going off on open-top tour buses every day and that it'd be... bit of crack, but only between me and you.
Yeah.
Sure, it turned out to be the best fucking crack that ever was known. And, that you know, the ship was so amazing, I just couldn't get over it. Like, I was expecting it to be claustrophobic and to be rocky and, you know, to be like aeroplane food. It was serious. Like,
it was serious. The food was serious.
5 stars.
And the thing that surprised me the most, now that I think about it, was the ship was full to capacity. We know that for a fact because we rang down. There's these superior cabins that have their own jacuzzi out on the deck. And we rang down.
We had fucking notions.
We rang down and we said, can we pay to get into one of those superior cabins? And she said, the whole ship is booked out.
Fully booked, yeah. There was
fully booked. There wasn't a spare room to be had. So that's why we know it was full to capacity. But it didn't feel like it was full to capacity.
No, no, no. There was loads of room. And you weren't on top of people. If you... wandered down to a coffee shop, like there could be only 2 people in it if you wandered up to the pool. I was the only one at the pool every fucking morning.
Yeah, there was no queue for the bars.
No queue for anything.
There was no queues for the restaurants.
The only time there was ever a queue was getting off the boat.
Yeah.
As in the last day, leaving.
Yeah. Or getting back on if the boat was leaving in 10 minutes. There was a mad panic there for 5 minutes. But apart from that, there was no queues anywhere.
No, it was brilliant.
What did you make of all the entertainment, the singers and the... Did you see much of that?
I didn't expect it to be a high standard. Like that band, that 5-piece brass band.
Yeah.
God, she was unreal.
They were unbelievable.
Oh, she was serious. The trad music, the Irish lads were unbelievable.
You went to a strippers, did you?
No, we did not go to strippers. Well, we went to entertainment the last night.
I wasn't invited to half this stuff, but
and
go on anyway.
It was the crew taking the piss. It was a movies night. You had to guess the movie. So they were, crew were pretending it was Magic Mike.
There's a video
and
of
a fella
you
took off his top and
TikTok.
Eric the bollocks, I should have hit him with the phone, videoed it straight away.
He videoed you saying, where have you brought us, Donald?
Yeah.
And there was 4 lads taking their tops off.
It was the crew. They were imitating Magic Mike. I was not at any strip shows.
And could you see their doujin?
No. They had the trousers on.
Was it like that place up the north there where they brought you up on stage and...
I wasn't at that. It was you and Stuart that was at that.
They slapped you in the face.
You're confusing me.
They slapped you in the face with the doujin.
You're confusing me. Any word from the big Stew? He's beyond in American town.
He's abroad in Chicago wearing his Mayo.ie jacket.
Well, now.
Are Mayo.ie funding him now to go around?
I didn't even spot that.
Yeah. Oh.
He had an off small breakfast the other day. I was looking at it.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. Have a look at it.
It's like a birdine.
I'm telling you, there was pancakes and there was sausages and it's big stuff now. Will he talk to us when he comes home that he's playing now in America?
Over in Chicago doing gigs with his Mayo.ie jacket on.
Well, be the hokey.
He'll be big money now the next time he's playing in Eileen's.
Look, mate's rates now. Mate's rates. Father Ted quiz in Eileen's Friday coming. Would this be out before Friday?
Oh, I don't know, but sure, plug it there.
Yeah, well, what fucking good is the point plugging if it comes out next Wednesday?
Well, I don't know. Sure, you belt away there and do whatever you want to do.
That sound, Clark.
Any other things you want to plug or mention?
No, I think all is good.
How is the building scene?
Building scene is busy. Timber's gone up 6%. Tree timber's gone up 4%. Concrete just got 10%. Prices are not stabilising. I never seen anything fucking like it. But increases. But it's busy, which is good.
Right. So what does that mean then? If I'm coming in buying a house this week...
More price increases every month. It's not stopping.
So can I guarantee the price today?
You can if you pay 10% deposit.
Right. Do many people do that?
people who can afford to, I suppose, maybe about 30%, 20%.
Right. So if you come in and pay the 10% deposit, you're guaranteed that's how much your house is going to cost. Donald Byrne, thanks a million. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Definitely.
We have another podcast in us. So this one was just to cover the cruise.
We have. There's an awful lot happened between the last one and before the cruise that we need to cover.
Yeah. But we have to run it by a couple of solicitors first.
I'm going to tell him the story. I don't give an absolute donkeys. We're going to tell him the story and we're going to tell him the truth.
Yeah. So we don't know when that'll be out. It might be a couple of months time, but we have a good one
He'll
coming.
He'll grow up here yet, folks. He'll grow up here.
We have a good one in the tank.
We have a good one in the tank. And remember, it's Fae Jolin.
The Big News Coming Soon podcast is proudly sponsored by B&B Homes. B&B Homes is Ireland's number one award-winning manufacturer of factory-built homes. We take your home from start to finish. Our homes are A-rated and meet planning regulations. We build to your requirements and your budget. The cost includes your home being turnkey and our chartered engineer's fees. Please get in touch for a viewing of our show homes, a brochure, or for more information. Let B&B Homes take the stress out of your build. Check out brbhomes.ie.